All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. As always, we start with the a moment of silence prior to the beginning of our meeting every time here, and then we'll go around and introduce everyone so everybody knows who's in attendance here. Thank you. All right, just to start off, I know we have some folks here from the public. We'll start off just so everybody can introduce themselves. My name is Chris Martin, a board member, and been with the board for about 4 years.
Leslie Stapleford, board member for about 2 months.
Kevin Yenser, board member for almost 2 years.
Blair Newman, board member for a month.
Jim Burton, board member for about how long?
Okay. Coming up?
Patrick Lucci. Bill Wallace.
All right. The first thing we have is just the secretary's report and the approval of the minutes. If everybody's had a chance to look through those, if there's any comments or questions from the last board meeting or from the minutes, if you've had a chance to look at those. And if we have no questions or comments on those, the first thing we'll do is just to vote to approve the minutes from last time. And just need a motion for the minutes.
Motion.
Second.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, with that, that's our first two. For the most part, we'll stick to the agenda of going through, and our next section will be the public comment. For our public comment, for anyone who wants to speak, we allow 2 minutes each. The board won't respond to any information. It'll be something that the board may discuss either at a later time in executive session or something we'll schedule for next time if needed. Do we have somebody who wanted to speak from each group or just somebody who...
Mr. Martin, we have four individuals who wish to speak.
And okay.
I called them in the order that they have written it down. And I apologize if I mispronounced names in the front, but we have, as I said, four individuals. Ms. Cheryl Chambers, Ms. Kim Wills. Kim Moran, or Kim Moro, and Henry, and I'm not sure of the last name. Okay. And there's two additional people from the Department of Education here. But from that standpoint, if you want to go, Mr. Martin, we'll allow Ms. Chambers to start her 2 minutes.
All right. Ms. Chambers?
Hi, I am Cheryl Chambers. I have two sons here at First State Military Academy, a senior and a freshman. My biggest concern, I'm talking on the concern of cultural diversity training and making sure that we address the needs of all of our students here at First State. I have reached out to Commandant expressing my concerns with the incident that we had and that was addressed, but I feel like there's more that needs to be done. There's a lot of things that I don't think that we have these young cadets that are actually going to talk to each other. You know, they talk to each other, but they may not talk to other adults about. Unfortunately, I have kids that come home and communicate with me. Coming from a mother standpoint, I think something needs to be done. Coming from a mental health professional standpoint, it must be done. We cannot ignore this. We need to see this situation as a sign to make changes. We have the opportunity of having First State Military Academy set a precedent that we're going to do something different and that we're going to accept people no matter, you know, and make sure that we create an environment no matter the color of their skin. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers.
And who do you have second, Jim?
Kim Wills.
Kim?
My daughter graduated from here last year. My son is still on his course here at First State to graduate. I would just like to see the clickiness and the racial divide that is becoming more of a problem at First State. The first couple of years, everybody was getting along, but there is starting to be those racial lines. I'm not sure what magic potion you can come up with. I know that it's naturally there in the world because people naturally teach it to their kids. I really wish they wouldn't. I brought my kids to Delaware from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. They came here, they were the happiest kids. They're like, Mom, there are kids of every color at my school. I'm so happy. They're talking in different languages. So if we can figure out how to take these kids here that don't want all the other languages and drop them in a place where there's just one color, please do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that's wished to speak is Kim Morrow.
Yep. I have two students here. My son Daniel Morrow is a junior and my daughter Peach Stapleton is a freshman. I agree, I didn't really even know what, I just came to the board meeting tonight to kind of hear how board meetings go. I didn't even know exactly what was happening this evening. But this is something that I believe I have brought up before in the past about diversity and trying to get the kids to work together better, because you're doing project-based learning. There's so many different cultures coming together to work on projects, and they just don't understand necessarily the students that they're working with. So I think having more knowledge of different backgrounds would definitely help them work together as classmates, to collaborate on assignments, and just in everyday living to prepare them for out in the real world. Many big companies have diversity training so their employees can work together and collaborate and become more successful employees. I mean, what a way to start if we could teach them now as students, so that way when they hit the real world, they're prepared, they're ready. I am aware of the incident that happened with the young man. I do think it's very unfortunate, but as that being, I think this is a great conversation starter to get us moving in the right direction to have diversity and to teach the kids about other cultures, so that way they're more prepared for life. I mean, that is what First Aid is about, teaching them to be prepared for adulthood and to be more successful as adults in the real world. And I just think as new students come in, that would be such a great thing to be able to say that you offer, is that we collaborate and we teach these different cultures and diversity. So that way kids coming in, like my kids were bullied at other schools by African American kids. But I try to teach that as having a biracial child, I can just see both sides. So I can only think that it would be just a win-win for everyone involved to try to get something in place for the cadets here now and future cadets. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry. And the last step, it was Eric Morris. I'm sorry.
Okay. I understand. I'm Henriette Morris. My son, Jordan Morris, attends here. I'd just like to give you guys a little bit of background about my family. My family is very biracial. My Jordan's dad is a white male. I'm African. I was born in Africa, so my family is very, very diverse in the way that we are all from different parts of the world. We respect and we show courtesies for everyone, basically. So that being said, that was the most disturbing thing. I know what the world is like now. I know how society is handling these issues. However, this is a microcosm of that world. And if we're going to produce individuals who are leaders, if we're going to produce individuals who are going to affect change, either in the military or in the world as a whole, it's important that we do not allow this to be missed. We will then be failing the young man on the video. We will be failing the young man that was sitting next to him that chose not to follow the code here of saying what was wrong. And we will be failing the other kids in the school, because now they have to watch somebody walk through your halls that had done a serious infraction to multiple codes in the rule book that I've read at least. So how do we come back from that? I totally agree. I agree with teaching, since we are an education institution, to teach diversity. Let's pick up a little bit where maybe family parents may have gone wrong or not even known. Sometimes people are raised in ways where they don't realize that what they're saying is not correct. So let's teach people on this level so that we are not feeling those individuals. In that respect, we're also, and this young man was allowed back with his rank. I discussed that with Commandant as well. What that said to the other population was it was okay. And that the courtesies and everything that the Marines stood for, how you obtain your rank, would be okay. But he infracted a rule seriously. So the fact that he came back on the same hierarchical level is really telling the other children, my son, who has been up for a promotion for well over months and hadn't received it, that's telling him that it's okay for one person to be treated one way, or at least a half of him to be treated one way and a half of him to be treated another way. So we really need to think about what message we're sending after this, and I'm begging that this is handled in a way where we're not feeling that young man in the video, and we're not feeling our kids, so that we can teach them all how to cohabitate, how to coexist the best possible, because they are going into the world, and I would like them to at least be a beacon of this voice. Thank
you. Thank you. Is this one?
That's the four that I've asked to speak.
All right. Thank you all for speaking up for speaking with us this evening. Typically what occurred up to this point is you're welcome to stay for the duration of the meeting if you like. If you want to stay for the remainder of the board meeting this evening. If you have other things to attend to, and you're certainly welcome to leave at any point. But typically what we'll do after this point here is we'll just continue along down on the agenda for this evening then. So was there anyone else that we got all four of you? No. Okay.
I'm Brian Moore. I'm the program manager for school climate and discipline for the Delaware Department of Education. And I want to thank the Commandant for reaching out to me today and inviting me down to the board meeting and having a chance to talk to some. It's always nice to talk to great parents because they're our customers. So for me, whether it's in your school or other schools, it's nice to kind of hear what's going on. But I want to applaud the Commandant. We have, since last year, been trying to change the way school discipline is provided throughout the schools in our state. Last year, Senate Bill 85 passed, which looked at disproportionate minority disciplinary practices. And the governor then signed an executive order that required that we really looked at restorative practices in a different light, and that trauma awareness became part of what we do in education. And certainly one of the things we talk about, and I consistently talk about in my daily job, is a lot of times our offenders are victims and have some trauma in their past that is something that we have to consider, as well as the continuing re-trauma of all of our students. So when the Commandant and I discussed it today, the department has been putting together some tools with a lot of outside groups and offering to come out and do some professional development, because we as a department, Dr. Bunting is big on, we want to be a resource to schools. And certainly, I love the fact that a charter school for me is way better than a district. You guys, we can actually sit down and make a difference with that everybody can see, versus sometimes with the district, 19,000 students, is going to take us some time to get that education out there. So the Commandant was more than willing to take some of the resources that we have available and try and come up with something innovative and something different. And certainly my hope, as we always do in the department, is we like these models. We'd like to be able to find a model that works and are able to then go to other schools and say, look at what they did. Trust me, you can do this. And next year, as we begin to look at disciplinary practices and start to identify schools as being disproportionate in the way they discipline, they need those tools and they're begging for those tools. So the fact that you guys are willing to be a place where we can come out and we can provide you those tools free of charge and we can get folks out there to help you, I think says a lot about the board's leadership and willingness to take this, as everyone has kind of said, as a sign and do something with it. And I'm very happy to be a partner and help you with that.
Great. Thank you, Brian. All right, we're gonna move on to our next part for this evening then. And we'll start with the treasurer's report.
All right, the treasurer's report, again, what you have in front of you is the spreadsheet with the two pieces of information relative to the WSFS bank accounts. Start of the month with $7,051.73 in the forward checking and savings account. There was one entry made, 1 cent interest on the savings account. So at the end of the month, we basically finished at $7,051.74 split between the checking account of $65,13.74 and savings account $538. The checking account statement is the full piece. And this is the extract of the Swiss account from the savings account, as the savings account statements are done quarterly. So there is no one at month end January. Previously, month end March. That is where we stand at this point in time. Scott and I are having conversations in the background relative to other components, but that's what we have in the board bank accounts to cover any additional things like the website and et cetera. So.
1 cent. Did we already subtract the money for the signs?
No.
So we got to pay for the signs, because we went ahead and ordered those, right?
I think they are doing renderings.
Oh, okay.
And they are not done yet.
Okay. Color, different colors and things like
all
that, right?
All the different schemes we discussed with how to lay out the color, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else for yours? All right. Coming up, finance report.
Okay. I did staple a bunch of pages there, but you know the two key ones are at the very end, which is the web report, and of course the web report and the
budget,
and whatever this is called. So as you can see, final state appropriations. Well, month ending in January is 58.33% through the fiscal year 19. So. Final state appropriations are $3,829,000. The outstanding $5,000 was transferred on 2/19. Other state funds include carryover from last year and allocation of our FY19 tech block. We also have our FY19 sustainment fund and our school safety and security grant. We received higher than projected tech block grant and our ED account tab. Local funds for the school districts were $962,884, and including in our revenue is the local funds carryover from fiscal year 18, which is $651,000. So expenditures, of course, we have our travel, training, instructional supplies, computer supplies, and a portion of our salaries were recoded to the consolidated grant, because I don't know if you realize, our consolidated grant, and it says it below, about $232,000 for this school year. We also have educational consultants. That's New Tech Network. Insurance and interest payment is front-loaded for the year. Postage is 83%, because we just sent out a big postcard thing for the open houses that we just had, that recently got concluded. Building and grounds, the repair into the mold removal morale, that was $12,000, you know, we didn't budget for, so we're able to work that in. And with the new whiteboards and some and then a mower for the athletic field, so we're able to accomplish all that. Federal, we have a total of $277,000 in federal dollars. This is both last year and this year. $135,000 of that remains. So with the 221 in federal funds in this year's LEA consolidated grant, sorry, it was 221 on 232, 86 has already been spent in January. So federal revenues are recognized as income when we encumber or expend them. So looking at the web report then, you can see that the grant total in revenue is $6,228,000. And total expenditures is $5,708,000. after summer encumbrances, right now we're looking at a positive $60,000 for the year. We know that'll increase, of course, because that's our 2% contingency fund too.
Yep.
That'll come in. And just to let you know that we're trying to save as much as possible to get ready for that big hit next year.
Paying the USDA.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're getting a big hit. It's going to be a bigger hit than we were, you know, we anticipated. So. Does anybody have any questions?
I know we need to get a vote for the web report, so she can post that. We have a motion for the web report.
Motion that we pass the web report is.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And we had nothing from the CBOC.
Are we also doing anything relative to the entire budget? Or agreeing that that's...
The finalized budget for the year?
Patrick, is this the finalized budget for the school at this point as it stands now?
We need to give a final approval.
For that is the, if you look at all the different, starting on page 2, shows us, our variance on our federal grants. And this is all the data, our state and local revenues, and of course, all of our expenses. Yes, this is all up to date. This will be our budget for the fiscal year 2019. And like I said, after summer and the encumbrances, we'll still see a profit. So, and just remember, they don't, when it does this, the federal money is separated from the state and local.
Yep.
So we can go ahead and just give a final approval then for the budget for the school year, so that's finalized.
Most of them are mostly through anyways.
Yeah.
Is that something we do have to vote on?
Yeah. You good?
Looking through last year's minutes. They were approved January of last year.
Yes, we did.
I don't think you can go past February of this year to approve the minutes remain with compliance with DOE, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah, we voted on it's simply when we've done it when ours brought us to court in January.
Just based on what I see here, it appears to be a reasonable budget estimate with 6 months of actual built into it and a forecast of all the other pieces. Your revenue, the only changes that you're going to have in revenue is going to be fundraising and PTO and the cafeteria piece. All the bulk of the funds have already been received from the state and districts.
All right. If we have no other questions on the budget, then we'll look for a motion to approve the final budget for the FY 18 school year.
Motion.
And need a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Comrade, you want to do your part now for the comrade support?
Yes, okay.
Sure.
All right. So right now, we're still in choice. We're having our meetings, but we have, so far we have 219 that have applied. 179 of those are ninth graders. That's with the already the 40 or 30 to 40 have already said they've withdrawn. So we're in good shape when it comes to for our recruitment for the next school year. As you can see, we only had 147 ninth graders at this point last year. So we're up to 179. We discussed that we were going to offer two additional open houses, the 16th and 30th. And you're probably asking me, well, you just said we're good. Why are we going to do it more open houses? I like to be prepared no matter what. So we will probably do another mailing and just tell them, hey, look, if you're going to do it, this is your last chance. Because there's those cadets out there that maybe they haven't gotten into the school they wanted, and they're burning it up by then. All right, good down. Cassandra McKay has resigned. All right, so that's one thing her resignation needs to be approved. She has taken a job with Alonzo Antonio Charter School. It's up in the Barley Mill Plaza. I don't know.
Oh, that's the new one then. That's the old DuPont site where they combined like several charter schools there.
Yeah, Odyssey's okay. Up there.
Yeah, Odyssey, yep, exactly. There's like three or four charter schools right there in that one building or that old building. Okay.
So she's going to go up there and she has resigned. As you can see, the different events. Colonel, do you want to talk about some of the different events we got going on? Right
sure. Now? Some of these are fairly standard. March 2nd, it's going to be at Steinberg for March. This coming Monday is ASVAB testing. This will be our third this year. We're probably going to have a fourth in April. A lot of interest. Every one of them have been packed, meaning there's close to 50 in the classroom. Some of these are taking the test again because they want to better their scores, et cetera. So we've got quite a few seniors there trying to increase their score. On the 8th, we have a West Point visit. Young man from West Point's come down to chat with us, as well as Fred Noel, who's the local West Point, I guess, coordinator. Well,
that meeting will be later on. This is just the
oh, the cadet?
Yes.
Okay. Cadet. Or the, cadet.
They're coming here?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to meet with primarily juniors and sophomores, and maybe even some freshmen. So I think the freshmen need to understand they have that mindset, what it is, what they need to be doing. Another drill meet at Sussex Tech. Quantico trip was postponed 2 weeks ago due to, or last week because of snow, both here and there, is rescheduled for the 14th. Open house as mentioned. Youth PFT challenge. So we've been trying to do this for a couple of years. It's a Region 1 Youth PFT challenge, and it's at Halsey High School up in New Jersey. So it starts at 7 in the morning. So we're going to go stay Friday night. I've done one trip with the drill team where we got up at 4 in the morning. And actually, we were on the road at 4:30. Who knows what time the kids really got up. And we did horrible because it was just too much. Now, it's no sleep and all that sort of thing. So we're going to try to spend the night, kind of like we did at Quantico. Everybody's going to take up two teams of eight. I think he's going to take 16 total. And give it a shot. If we do really well, we'll go to Nationals, which is in San Diego, California, later on in the late April time frame. So we want to give them a shot this year. It'll be the first time we've gone up to Halsey and tried to do this. The other years we've waved off. On the 29th, we do our first mess night that we had planned. It's internal to the command, so in other words, no girlfriends, no parents. Unfortunately, it's just the cadets and board members are invited if you want to attend. It'll be a fun night. It'll be there's some formalities. There's a lot of toasting going on. It's a great way to break the cadets into a different kind of military ceremony. It'll start. We'll be arriving about 5:30. We'll probably get started around 6, and we should be done 11-8 o'clock. So it'll be an early evening on a Friday. We want to do it right after school. It's gonna be right here at Clayton, so the cadets be in uniform. They can walk up there if they stay here after school. That kind of thing. So we want to keep it close and simple. I suspect 120 is going to be NCOs and above. Those below that are not invited. So they've had to earn their right to come to this particular night. So it'll be good. They'll be fed a meal, that sort of thing. The tickets are going to run at $30. And that's going to that's going to take us to covering the bills, basically. Doing that night. Minuteman Challenge is on the 30th, same day as an open house. That's a National Guard event. It's basically a PT challenge. They've asked us 6 months ago if they could do it at our campus. They basically bring in teams of eight, and they do some PT events throughout the day. How many schools show up will just depend upon who wants to come. But all the JRTC schools are invited in. The National Guard runs it, scores it, everything else. We're just providing the facilities for that day. And they'll be on our campus using Burrell Hall and kind of that side of the campus primarily. Open house the same day, so I thought might be kind of interesting. Color run scheduled for the 6th. I don't have a good feel for how that's really going right now. It's really tough to tell at this point right now where that, how much volume is coming in, but I do know it's kind of a tough day because I think Polytech is doing more on the same day. So Gunny wants to give it a run. We tried to do it in the fall, when it was weathered out. So we have all the materials. It's just a matter of executing the event. Let's see how it goes. Any questions on any of that, ladies and gentlemen?
What was your kickback, or how was the end results of the first drill meet here?
Oh, I thought it went well. The cadets showed up, and we really let them run it. From Taylor on down, giving opening comments, doing the commander's brief, running the information center. I mean, they did a bang-up job. I had a lot of parents come up to me and say, hey, that's the best run drill meet we've ever seen. You know, that's not on me, it's on the cadets. We planned well, they executed well. There were some, if I had any complaints, it was from the other JRTC instructors who said that the judges were not fair. Okay, so we had a few more Marine judges than they were probably used to seeing, and they just didn't like the way some of the scoring was done, but well, tough. I haven't liked it in some of the other places, so I really don't care. We're going to try to make it better, and but a lot of these judges, it was their first time, and Cesar Rodney took some hits because they had Marines judging them. And they saw the flashiness, and they didn't like it, and they told them so. And they kind of got their backs up a little bit about it, but we beat Cesar Rodney, and, you know, they left in second place, and they're a little bummed out about it. So other than one, they're the only ones who provided us some feedback. All the other schools said, hey, here you go. So the combination of using PCA and us worked out really well. So it was a good day all in all.
Nice. Yes, I heard from one CR parent who wasn't happy because they said, you know, because it's Air Force, and they said, you know, it was all the Marines were not us. The judges were, you know, they were judging us on the Marine Corps standards. They're not allowed to do that, and they're doing this. And I'm like, that's it. They're not us. I'm like, it's not us. You can't blame the school for that.
Well, now they know how we feel when we go to their state meet, which is run by them.
Mm-hmm. Right. At the Air Force base.
Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. As you know, I brought you a organizational breakdown of our staff, so you get an idea of what we have going on. And the green are people we definitely need for next year. The gray is, it would be nice if you could do gray and green, and that would be our ideal happening. That won't happen. But again, we're looking for the green. I don't know if you've been reading a lot out there about education as a whole, but people are struggling everywhere. States they have schools that they have, you know, double-digit uncertified teachers in the classroom. So we list some job fairs. We try to pick some good locations where we can grab some people. And those are the four there. Temple, the Perk, and Penn State, and then locally in Delaware. And the nice one about the Penn State one is Ms. Clark knows that she can just stay at friend's house. So we just need to reimburse her for fuel. And that's a lot of them, that's all we're going to do. So we try to do it at minimal cost. And the Perk one is in Monroeville, that's towards Pittsburgh. That's a huge one, but even their numbers have been dwindling too. It just shows you that the market for educators is drying up. And that's kind of scary, but we plan to go out there and find them, and we're starting now. So next thing is capital improvements. Our senior class, their project, they have bought a, is it a bronze bulldog?
Bulldog, yes.
So I need your permission, because we got to find a place to put it.
I was like, wait, how big is he? I've seen the pictures.
He's about this big.
Oh, okay. So they'll go inside the school somewhere, or outside?
Outside.
They want to put it
okay.
Outside. They would like to put it across from the POW MIA chair.
Okay.
So, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. Well, you know, it's coming. We don't want to start building a base for it with bricks and mortar and say, we don't want that there. So I got to make sure to talk to Scott about that, because, you know.
You almost want it to be bigger.
It's not cheap.
I'm like, something almost needs to be bigger than going out there by the chair.
Yeah.
I've only seen the pictures that Keegan's put up, or that I've seen the FS military page there, mm-hmm. and I could never tell how big he was. Or I think I saw today they're trying to raise 1,200. Is that right?
They almost have it.
Yeah.
Did it really?
I know it ain't 2,000, but they've been working hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it posted almost every other day, probably just constantly going out there. And mm-hmm. So.
Well, if I find, we do finds at best time. Fines, it'll be a dollar. That's where the fund comes in, but it's going to go to the seniors.
Oh, that's good.
That's all I have. Colonel, you have anything?
No. Okay.
What's the last one there you have coming for school weapon policy? Is there something you're working on for next month?
We are. This is next week.
Okay.
Scott, we're going to push it.
Okay.
We already have it. It's almost done. Brian, being the DOE rep, he already said it's good. And because we wanted to have a specific policy, because we have the marksmanship rifles and everything like that. So.
All right, for committee reports, Blair?
I did athletics. Winter sports just finished up. We had three wrestlers qualify for the state tournament. Girls basketball won their last game of the season, so they needed a win. And the boys basketball team finished with three wins. Spring sports start on Friday, March 1st, this coming Friday. We have baseball, softball, track and field, girls soccer for a first year, and then lacrosse. I present the new participation fee that we talked about last board meeting at the parent night. I think it went well received, didn't have any parents push back. As of today, we had 26 athletes that have already prepaid for Friday, $3,900, which is pretty good compared to where we've been in the past.
Did they prepay for the 75 or the full 150?
There was two kids that did the just $50.
Okay, that's right. You offered them $50.
Yeah, like, and everybody else had paid up front. So
nice. All right, that's good. All right, and Dawn is not here. She emailed us. I know I sent an email from her just last minute, and she could not make it tonight. Kevin.
And for the signs, the only thing we're waiting on from Kent Signs right now were the renderings for the different coloring of the signs, because they don't have them done yet, as far as, you know, doing the gold, the red, the red, white, blue, the bronze coloring, and she's going to do a bunch of them so we can pick through them.
Did we have an estimated cost on that?
Yeah, the costs were, they were on there from last month, I think maybe on my iPad, but they were, those were good, rigid costs, so it's, was it $1,000-ish for those?
$1,200.
Yeah.
It wasn't put in the minutes, but.
Yeah, that's all I had on those.
All right. The only organizational issues, I know Scott's talked, he mentioned briefly about doing a bylaws review, but he didn't go much further than that. Board commitment form and action, he did not address. And then that's all he had. So. Does anyone else have anything else to go around, Leslie?
Nope.
Go ahead. Sir?
Yes, sir.
No? Commandant, anything else?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Jim?
Good.
All right. We'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you all.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.